Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
Hi and welcome. My name is Gita Sidhu Rob and this is Activate Yourself. And as always, today's show is how to inspire you to understand that when something terrible happens to you, what the universe is trying to do is stop you going straight ahead and trying to make you turn left. And why? Because the place that you turn left into is probably your zone of genius. It's probably the place where you'll be happy. It's probably the place where the most wonderful, amazing things are going to happen to you. But we don't want to turn. And, you know, hands up to the fact that I will be the most stubborn cow in existence. And I will fight back. And I remember in my spiritual journey when people were like, what you should be doing is going, thy will be done. And I'm like, I don't want your will to be done. I want my will to be done, damn it. So that took me a while to get around. But honestly, the biggest teacher in our lives, the people that have shaped my life completely from when my son first got sick to trying to provide for them are my children. I have fought for my children in a way I would never have fought for myself. I have tried to do things for my children I wouldn't have cared about for myself. And it is one of those things that when you do something and you're not asking the other person if you should do it, who are you doing it for, them or you? And I had to be super clear as the child of an extremely manipulative Indian mother who doesn't listen to my show, so we're safe. But as a child of a very manipulative Indian mother, I had to be really clear I was doing those things for myself. But that in itself was such a painful learning because I was here to give my life up for my kids, but not, and I didn't know what that line was. So today's guest is somebody I am literally telling you up front is here to educate me for the next half hour because Muriel Felous is here to teach us how to live with teenage kids. And my children are 19, 21 and 25. I know they're not meant to be teenagers, but the pandemic took 2.5 years out of their life and they still feel like teenagers. So you're welcome to listen in to what is going to be my therapy session. And let's welcome Muriel. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I love your introduction.
Nothing like being completely honest about what we're doing here.
Exactly. Transparency. So,
the thing that's really interesting about you is because you're very clear. It's like co-parenting with the universe. What's really interesting about your side is it says raising teens alone can be brutal, but it doesn't have to be. You could be co-parenting with the universe. And it's really, I have made no secret of the fact that from when we were homeless, I used to have a little notebook without any lines in it. And I would write a line through the middle of the notebook. And on the left-hand column, I would write things I have to do tomorrow, which included finding food and money and shelter and a roof. And then on the right-hand side of the column was things the universe has to do for me. So I have always been clear that the universe is here to help me, but I have never really thought consciously about co-parenting with the universe.
So I was saying that too. And I don't know if you know Abraham Hicks.
Yes, that's yes. Where I came from.
Yeah. So I was into that too for years. But when my kids started to really bring such an anxiety and fear in me, being the control freak that I was, wanting to control everything for everything to be my way, so I know with certainty.
Yeah, but you have to, you're a single parent. How else is it going to work?
Yes, but that works against you. Yeah. I was forced with a kick in the rear to co-parent with the universe because they started acting in such a way that was so potentially dangerous. They were going to parties and experimenting and drinking and skipping school, etc., etc. And being a single parent in a country where I had no emotional support, no financial help, I didn't get to the point to where you got. That was my first fear when I divorced to end up in the street. It didn't happen, thank God. But other challenges happened when they really started doing that. And I found myself powerless. I felt powerless at protecting them 24/7 against their own being teenagers and a little bit too adventurous, because they were not bad kids, but they were, you know, the brain is not finished until you're 20 something and you have strong impulses.
How about 50 something?
And for some people, never.
Yeah.
And so it got to such a point where I was waking up in the middle of the night with palpitations in anxiety, because I had horror scenarios in my head. And it slowly I spiraled into depression without realizing that I was, because I was already a coach. I've always been positive.
Yeah.
But when you have a fear having such a strong hold on you, it's like, you know, when the crab is into the water and it starts boiling and it
lobster.
Doesn't really.
Yeah.
I'm the lobster. In French,
yeah,
we say
the
crab.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. So you don't realize that until my oldest came back from finishing her BA in psychology, and we had a conversation, and she was like, "Mom, out of all the list of depression, you check most of it, if not all of it." And I was like, wow. So I started really looking at it, and I realized that that's where I was, and I had to change the way I was doing things, because trying to control, trying to take the place of the universe doesn't work. You cannot. My biggest fear was to find one of my kids dead because they took something at a party.
Oh my God, don't.
You can't control that. You can't control.
And you can't stop being afraid of it.
You can.
Okay, good. And hello, welcome to my show. We can do that. Thank you. I'll take that.
That's what I had to do, because first of all, I was in hell, like living in fear. My body was reacting. Since then, I have my heart is not synced in the way that it's beating now, and I'm working on that.
Wow.
But I really, you know, when it comes to fear, I go down to the bottom of the fear. I don't ignore the fear, because I don't want it to have an unconscious hold on me. I went down to the bottom of it, and I said, if I am meant to lose a kid in this life, there's nothing I can do that will prevent
that. True.
There's nothing. It's not my job. I'm not powerful enough to stop somebody from dying. So since I don't have control of that, I need to relinquish that to the universe, who has been showing me all my life that it is there for me, for my kids, for everybody, and work on strengthening my faith. And on the other side, develop what I had to develop in my area of power, because I always define area of powerlessness, which is that what you need to relinquish to the universe, and area of power, which is where you need to look at yourself in the mirror and see, what can I do differently to have more power, to be more resourceful, to have more help? Because if we talk about the brain, when you are on alert like that, the stress center of the brain, the amygdala, is active, sending messages to your entire body, sending biochemicals.
Cortisol is driving, I talk about it all day, the cortisol is driving me mad.
Exactly. And a part of your blood, which normally goes to the frontal cortex, the frontal brain, the most recent brain where you analyze, you come with idea, you're creative, you understand this world, and come up with resources, it's not functioning at its highest potential. So you're not even functioning with your whole brain. So first of all, the first thing you have to do is intervene on that on a physiological level and stop that response from your body. And that's where, luckily, I was a coach. I am a coach, and I use the emotional freedom technique, the tapping, which intercept that message of a fight, flight, or freeze in your body, and start really putting you in a more neutral emotional state, which actually sends different biochemicals to your body. And on an energy level, I always describe energy like an elevator. When you stop at the floor of fear, anxiety, what are you going to attract? On that floor, you can only attract other things, people, situations that will resonate with that. So you have to move a little bit closer to the penthouse.
But also, the other thing with this particular reaction you're talking about is that the really painful part about this is, number one, you're a single parent, so you have no one to turn to for support to go, no, just relax or calm down. And actually, men have such a different approach to this, that yes. being able to have a conversation with somebody as invested in your children as you are, yeah. which a step parent never quite feels like that, but you miss that. And then the second thing is that when you are over 40, is when you start to have a lot of these feelings, because that's when your kids are hitting their teens, and that's when perimenopause kicks in.
Yes.
And perimenopause is there. I did a webinar recently on perimenopause, and I was comparing the symptoms of perimenopause to that of stress. And it's shocking that over 80% of them are the same symptoms, and they really amplify each other.
I know, because your hormones change and there is more sensitivity to even pain, to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So that didn't help.
No.
And plus, as moms, we carry a lot of shame when our kids start acting out, because the world looks at us as
good
you're
or
not
bad
okay.
mother.
You're yeah. a bad mother. There is yeah. something that is your fault. And I had to first... Why couldn't I see that I was in depression? Self-judgment. Because I was telling myself, how can I not like my life if my kids are healthy, I have an income, everything was quote-unquote okay. Who am I if I complain? That means I don't love my kids. And that's crazy, but that's where it was blocking my view, and I couldn't even admit that I didn't like my life. And that's the first step to healing, is awareness.
But there's a place in, especially in the West, which I find very interesting, where we're conditioned to think that we should be grateful for the bare minimum. Right? I always laugh because I'm from Africa. I mean, I'm Indian, but I'm from Africa. So when in my house, no one ever said, eat the food because the people in Africa are starving. You know, it's the one thing that was never said in my house.
I never understood that either.
No, exactly. Because no, but it's very clear. It's subliminal yeah. shame and guilt. It's like, eat this because you should be grateful. And it's like, well, and so what was interesting to me about what you're saying is that I'm always annoyed so much. It literally pisses me off shitless, if you'll pardon the French, that, which is, yeah, I know you're French, but ignore that. That as mothers, there's already so much we're doing. And then shame and guilt are used as the reins with which to control us to turn this way or that way.
That's the message that you are imprinted with
100%.
From society, from our parents who didn't know better either.
It's no.
as a mother, you're supposed to sacrifice yourself, put yourself last.
Do.
Yeah, put yourself last. But that's a very dangerous approach, because if you're depleted, you're not going to be a good mother. You're
yeah,
going
to
be reactive.
Yeah, but try to tell women that. It's very hard. I mean, like,
it's
I'm
changing.
Also a coach. It's, yeah.
It's changing. It, thank God it's changing, because you cannot give from an empty well. That's madness. And so that shame, I see it so much with mothers, and even with mothers who are working with the spiritual approach, it's still very prevalent.
Oh, and so much.
And also, people are under the impression that once you work on something, you can put a check mark and that's
no,
it, you've dealt with that.
No.
We work
layers.
In layers. Yeah, we are revisiting the same thing over and over from a higher perspective, if we're lucky.
So what I want to do is, we're going to go for a quick break. And what I would like to do is when we come back, I want to actually really look at, why is it that teenage behavior has got worse, or is it just that the way that we live as women has put more pressure on?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back with the amazing Uriel Fellows. My question is this. I see so much damage in my children. I see so much damage in my children. And I think, okay, maybe it's because of what happened when they were younger. But then I look around. And in our generations, maybe one in 7 or 8 or 20 people were having depression or do whatever. But in my children's generation, every third one is having some kind of issue. Well, is this a new, what the hell is going on?
I think that it got aggravated by one, social medias.
Yeah.
And depending on where you live, I lived in the US, so you have to be the best. You have to perform. It puts so much pressure on them. And you have to feel that. Also, it's not the same in England, but in the US, if you want to study, it's very expensive. So you better have good grades. Otherwise,
a waste of money.
Yeah, yeah. And it's worse, I think, for our kids today. It's really difficult. I see them struggling. I've seen teens, because I used to have a lot of teens ending up in my house where the parents threw them in the street and they had nowhere to sleep. So I said, okay, I cannot throw them out in the street. So I used to talk to them. And the fact that social media is dictating the relationship dynamics nowadays is horrible, because let's say they were using Snapchat. I don't know if it's present in England.
Very much so.
If someone opens your message but does not respond right away, they feel rejected.
Yes.
And they have to be also responding to their friends like that. And I was telling them, since when? It's dictature. You have a life. It doesn't mean because you're not answering in the minute that you don't care about the person. So they have that on top of all the other challenges. That's something we did not have. They know.
No, it's true. Because when you went home, unless the phone was ringing, you were escaped. You were finished. You escaped.
Yes. And now they're connected 24/7 to that thing. And trying as a parent to put a limit to that is also challenging. It's challenging.
It's impossible. So we've had age limits in my house and we used to have fights to make that happen.
Yeah. So my approach is, I like to take a little bit, as much as I can get, like when we eat, of course, no phone.
Yeah.
And at least a few hours a day, let's say 2 hours, where we do stuff in the house and there is no phone, because I cannot control the rest, but at least a little bit, because it impacts the brain. And
it provides a space.
And as far as teenagers having challenges, something we've never been taught is that if we don't take care of our own stuff, we're going to be recreating some wounding that has been created on us by our parents. And it's not to blame our parents.
You can only teach what you know.
Exactly. And I'm not blaming my parents, but yeah, exactly. You can only teach what you know. And I always say, don't have your wounds bleed on your children. Take care of your stuff. It became very evident to me when my kids were like, I don't know, 8 or 10, and they started really disobeying strongly. And I found myself, I was yelling at them one day and I said, oh my God, I am doing what my father used to do. And not as far so much as behavior, as far as emotion. Every time we disobeyed, he took it like we don't love him. And that's what I was feeling. Yeah. I said, no, I do not want to feel like that. That's a lie. It doesn't mean that they don't love me. They're just kids. And so you catch stuff and you have to change them. And the more you can bring yourself to a neutral emotional state, at least, if it's not positive, but positive sometimes is impossible when stuff happens, neutral, the more you can detach from the problem, the more effective you're going to be as a parent, because they can feel it. And like I said, your brain will work better. And I teach my moms to first go back in their heart when they need to have a harsh or difficult discussion with their teens. Take a few minutes in a room. Remember when they were baby. Activate that energy in your heart and then go in. And I also brain train them. I help them train their brain to become so not triggered when they throw stuff at you. Because they're going to be doing the rolling of the eyes, the whatever.
Oh, my God. It's so annoying. Oh,
and then when you train yourself with tapping, you can. I now sometimes I look at it like a cartoon. I'm almost laughing. I won't laugh in front of them because it would add oil to the fire. But there is a way to retrain your reaction to where you're going to respond instead of react. And there will be much less arguments.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back from our break. And what you're saying, that the teenagers are always going to be teenagers, right? They're not going to be anything different. Their job is to push, their job is to stretch, their job is to fight us. But you're going to give a demonstration of an EFT type thing for us to manage it, because I would gladly receive that.
Okay, then you know what? That's a perfect example. Let's do something on bring back an incident to where something that they did annoyed you like crazy. And
how long do we have? I just have to remember it.
Just one thing.
I have three kids, okay? So how long? Okay.
Just pick one, because you can apply that to everything.
One.
Yes. Yeah. And for the listeners, if they can't find something, they can pause and come back.
No, it's okay. When you can, if you have children, you can find something.
I know.
I know. Effortlessly.
So is the emotion of annoyance present in your body? Try to really bring
it. It's that in my solar plexus and it's burbling away.
Okay. On an intensity of 0 is 10. 10 is the maximum.
10.
So let's go for it. And for the audience, if you want a visual, you can, as you listen to the episode, if you're listening on audio, I will describe the points, but there is... I created a visual, silent visual on liveeft.com, if you need that. I'm going to describe what we're going to do. You can tap with two fingers or three fingers, and I will describe the point as we go. So now we're going to start by tapping on the portion of the hand between the base of the pinky to the wrist, and tap with your other hand. And we're going to do an anchoring statement three times. So I'm going to talk, and you'll repeat after me.
Yep.
Even though I'm really annoyed when I think about that incident.
Even though I'm really annoyed when I think about that incident.
It makes me boil inside. And if that's not what you feel, change with what you feel.
It really makes me boil inside.
I can feel it in my solar plexus really strongly.
I can feel it in my solar plexus really strongly.
I accept and love myself anyway.
So for those of you listening, just keep tapping while we're saying all these sentences, right?
You always keep tapping. Yes.
It's that fleshy bit on the side of your hand. So
the karate chop.
Yeah, I love and accept myself anyway. Is that right?
Yes. Well, now we're going to say it two more times. Even though I feel really annoyed about this incident.
Even though I feel really annoyed about this incident.
I can feel it in my body strongly.
I can feel it in my body strongly.
I love and accept myself anyway.
I love and accept myself anyway.
If you can say I love, you say I'm willing to love, because some people can say that. Mm-hmm. And one last time, even though I'm really annoyed by remembering this incident.
Even though I'm really annoyed by remembering this incident.
I love and accept myself anyway.
I love and accept myself anyway.
Now we're going to take your hand and we're going to tap on the top of the head to just the middle. I can't believe they are doing that.
I can't believe they're doing that.
Now tap on the bridge of the nose at the beginning of the eyebrow with two fingers. Just remembering it triggers me.
Just remembering it triggers me. This is the best show I've had. Thank you very much. Well, I told you it's my therapy session.
Side of the eye on the bone.
So you're going to the edge of the eye and you're tapping just on the outer
on the
edge
bone.
Of the eye.
Mm. And just remembering that, I can't stop the reaction in my body.
Just remembering that, I can't stop the reaction in my body.
Now, under the eye, in the middle of the eye on the bone, I am so annoyed. And is there another emotion that you feel?
Shame and guilt.
I'm so annoyed and I'm ashamed and guilty.
I'm so annoyed, ashamed, and guilty.
And if the listeners feel something else, replace with your own words. Under the nose, between the nose and the mouth, two fingers. All that shame and guilt in my body.
All that shame and guilt in my body.
Now, under the mouth, in the crease, with two fingers.
Under your lip, just the bit, just between your lip and your chin, guys.
Yeah, on the crease here. All that shame in my body.
All that shame in my body.
Now, under the collarbone, just about an inch under, you have a soft point. You can tap on both sides or just one side. I don't like that feeling in my body.
I don't like that feeling in my body.
Now, under the arm at the bra line, that feeling of shame and guilt in my body is really disturbing me.
That feeling of shame and guilt in my body is really disturbing me.
Top of the head again. But what can I do?
But what can I do?
It's really what I feel.
It's really what I feel.
I can do anything but feel what I feel.
I can't do anything but feel what I feel.
Now, again, beginning of the eyebrow, basis of the eyebrow. All that shame in my solar plexus.
All that shame in my solar plexus. So now we're going around the points for the second time.
Yes. Side of the eye, corner of the eye on the bone. All that shame that is disturbing me.
All that shame that's disturbing me.
Under the eye. I don't like the intensity of that feeling.
I don't like the intensity of that feeling.
Now, under the nose. But I also don't like what happened.
But I also don't like what happened.
Under the mouth. And I feel so shameful about it.
And I feel so ashamed about it. This is making me yawn. It's really interesting.
And obviously, it's really, it's really, yeah. That yeah. means it's going because it's energy blocked in your body.
Yeah.
All that shame, I wonder if I could let some of it go.
I wonder if I could let some of it go.
Under the arm. No, I don't think I'll be able to do that.
No, I don't think I'll be able to do that.
Top of the head. Third round. It's too strong.
It's too strong.
Beginning of the eyebrow. It's strong, but it doesn't help.
It's strong, but it doesn't help me.
Side of the eye. Although I'm sure there is something hiding behind my shame.
Although I'm sure there's something hiding behind my shame.
Under the eye on the bone, there's something that I make it mean about me.
There's something that makes it personal to me.
I'm giving it a personal meaning.
I'm giving it a personal meaning.
That's why I react with shame.
That's why I'm reacting with shame.
Under the mouth. Under the collarbone. Because I think it means something bad about me.
Oh, because I think it means something bad about me.
Under the arm. Even though there is all that under the surface.
Even though there's all that under the surface.
Top of the head. I'll deal with that later.
I'll deal with it later.
Beginning of the eyebrow. And I'm willing to let go of the shame for now.
And I'm willing to let go of the shame for now.
Beginning of the eyebrow. I'm safely letting go of the shame.
I'm safely letting go of the shame.
Under the eye. I promise myself I'll work on what's under the surface later.
I promise I'll work on what's under the surface later.
Under the nose. But for now, I'm letting go of the shame and the guilt because it doesn't help.
But for now, I'm going to let go of the shame and the guilt because it doesn't help.
Under the mouth. I'm going to accept that everybody makes mistakes, even me.
I'm going to accept that everybody makes mistakes, even me.
Under the collarbone. And it doesn't make me a bad person.
And it doesn't make me a bad person.
Under the arm. I make mistakes.
I make mistakes.
But I'm okay.
But I'm okay.
Top of the head. I can still accept myself as I am.
I can still accept myself as I am.
Beginning of the eyebrow. It's safe to let go of the shame.
It's safe to let go of the shame.
Side of the eye. In fact, I see and feel some of the shame leaving now.
In fact, I see and feel some of the shame leaving now. So for you, those guys that are listening, just think about how we're going through the journey of the layers of the emotions that we're going through and actually tapping our way through every single layer.
Don't stop tapping, even when you talk. And so the layers. I'm letting go of some of the shame and I'm freeing myself. I'm feeling it in my body. That's where we were.
I'm letting go of the shame, which I'm feeling in my body.
Now, see if you can have an image about the shame leaving your body. And for the people that are listening, if you don't get an image, maybe a sensation, how do you know the shame is leaving your body?
Because I can see it floating off. Oh, my heavens. It's making me yawn so much.
That's a very good sign.
Yeah.
The shame is leaving my body.
The shame's leaving my body. I feel so much better. I'm not really sure how to tell you.
Under the collarbone. I'm freeing myself and I'm so happy about it.
I'm freeing myself and I'm so happy about it. I think we have to make this our last round.
And oh, that we're going to finish now. I am now freer than I was earlier.
So under your armpit, I'm now freer than I was earlier.
And the last one on the head, I'm freer and that's only the beginning.
I'm freer and that's only the beginning.
And now stop tapping and take a deep breath. Let it go and measure again when you think about the incident. You were at a 10 earlier. Where are you now?
I'm on a 1.
Oh, amazing. Great.
Yeah.
So when you do that and you repeat this kind of stuff, picking really specific incidents, memories, or things that you're afraid are going to happen in the future, be as precise as you can be. You literally are intercepting the response of your body that is associated with that thing you're afraid of or you're annoyed by. And little by little, you dissociate those two and you come to a more neutral state as a response. And the more you do that, the more you train your brain to respond differently. That's how it works.
I mean, it's interesting. So I was saying this to a client yesterday where I'm saying something is going to happen. Your judgment on whether that is good or bad is really up to you, right? And so what you're doing here is you're stopping your preconditioning, creating a reaction to your children's behavior. And so the less that you engage in and get invested in that behavior, then the more help actually you can be because you are more stable and more secure.
And sometimes you need a body intervention because in my case, just picking another thought wouldn't, I was too much in anxiety to even have a neutral thought. So I had to intervene on my physiology to be able, because our thoughts create the way we feel, but the way we feel create additional thoughts. It's a vicious cycle.
100%.
So you need to intercept that so that you can pick something neutral. And don't try to go from negative to positive too quick because your brain is going to reject that. It's going to say, no, that's not true.
No, and one of the reasons for me this reacted so quickly is because I'm a huge fan of EFT. I'm a big believer in it. I actually trust it. I think it works. And I think it's one of the ways to make the fastest changes actually in your life. So for me, it works incredibly well because I have those beliefs.
Yeah. As
well.
And for most people, it does. I'm now getting certified in clinical EFT, which is an all other level to where I'm going to use it to help people with PTSD and stuff like that. It's now recognized by the veterans organizations.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. So it's really becoming more mainstream. And soon enough, a lot of psychologists are learning it to add it to the therapy. Because when you talk about a trauma, if you don't intervene on the body response, you re-traumatize yourself. And that can happen with your kids. I was re-traumatizing myself every time I was having those crazy scenarios. So
where is it that you, okay, so I've just, liveeft.com
yes.
is where people can go. And you have a really great image there with where to do the tapping, excuse me. And also the actual video of the
yes.
tapping. So that's where people can go and find out about the tapping. That was super helpful.
I also have on my YouTube channel several very specific EFT sessions. I have a playlist called EFT or tapping, I can't remember. And there is one on saying no with more ease, because a lot of moms have a hard time saying no. And that's something we haven't learned. So
yeah. No, I really like this. That's phenomenal, Muriel. I really enjoyed
Thank
that.
You.
I just like to summarize. Ultimately, what you're saying, and it's such a good thing to hear this, is that we do know that being a single parent is hard. We know that being the single parent breadwinner is incredibly hard. And that when you've put a massive investment of time and love and energy into your children, it's impossible not to in some way attach to the results. It really is. You're human. And what we're doing here is learning from you that that attachment is not healthy for you as a mother. And that
yeah.
the more you stay in that attachment and they behave in a way you don't want, it's going to bring you down instead of having you be the adult that can help them to find another way.
And also, the more you develop your trust in the universe, your faith, go back
yes.
to your life, see when things fell on your lap and you had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Find each example that you can, that life is here for you. And that lowers the level of fear, because that those two elements are need to be there. Your trust in the universe, relinquish what is not yours, your
yeah.
area of powerlessness.
Yeah.
Focus on your area of power and build your trust, strengthen it. Prove it to yourself and intervene on your responses that are not healthy. Those two combined will change your perception of being a mother, your results. I don't know how much time we have, but literally miracle results I've seen in my life with that approach and in the life of my clients, to where when you ask, show me, what do I need to do next? A person will come, a book will come.
Oh my God, yes.
I had my son in the US, there is an organization called Big Brothers, Big Sisters, because he didn't have a role model for a good male or
yeah.
role model in his life. And I registered him, he was already 13, and they said, huh, we have such little hope because people want younger kids. I said, okay, put him in the system anyway. And 2 years later, when things were going really bad, I asked the universe, I said, show me, what's the next step? I kid you not, 2 hours later, they called me and they said, he's now 15, we have a match. And he's still in contact. We moved countries, he's still in contact with that man.
I love that.
Helped him so much. I've seen that happening so many times. When you open the door to not wanting to control everything, do your best to control what you can and let the universe deliver you things you wouldn't even think about.
I agree with that. I've seen that in every single part of my life. In fact, my lock screen on my telephone, and we have to say I'm literally the most graphically designed, challenged person in the entire universe. But the lock screen, I mean, I'm not good. The lock screen on my thing says literally, how good can things get? And I just
yeah.
wrote it again and again and again and again. And it makes me smile. Every time I look at my lock screen, I read how good can things get? And it makes me smile.
So I have a message on my lock screen, but my lock screen is, it's not who you are that holds you back. It's not, it's who you think you're not. So I also have
deep.
Reminders. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We could go on forever, actually, I think, because this is such a massive part of our life, isn't it? But thank you very much for joining me.
And I have a gift, if it's okay to share with your audience when they go on my website. I'm preparing a 7-day, 5-minute-a-day tapping challenge that's connected to the chakras.
Mm-hmm.
So when they register, they're going to be on my mailing list. And when I'll be ready with that, it shouldn't take long. I mean, toward the end of the month, probably, I'll send them that so they can tap 5 minutes a day and start building a different brain wiring.
Oh my God, I think that's just genius. You should definitely do that. Coparentingwiththeuniverse.com. Definitely go in and check it out. Muriel, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
For your time today. So I hope that inspired you. I hope we didn't lead you astray with the tapping in the middle of that, because there's a place where, honestly, I'm such a fan of EFT. It is something that I use to I like Muriel's term of intercept. For me, it's kind of like where I'm like course correct instantly. It's like an interrupter in your everyday life to change things. And when you think, I am so tired of doing this, I'm tired of being this, EFT is just the biggest thing that works at that time. I hope this inspired you. I hope this made you think about something that you can look at differently, because I have to say there are times where I've had my children, all three of them, in a place and everybody is miserable. And I remember when one was 16, 18 and about 21, where I just sat on my stairs and cried because yeah. I could not get past how unhappy everybody was. And I did not know what to do and I couldn't do anything. And obviously I wasn't a massive help as a mother at that stage, but that's part of life, isn't it? So it's good for you to know you're not the only one. Welcome to our lives. We do that too. And thank you for joining me. My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.